This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The tendency exists to think of people in narrowly defined terms: politicians, scientists, athletes, artists, people of faith. But the more you get to know people, the more you realize that we all live in different worlds, sometimes playing significant roles in more than one realm. Two Milwaukee people, leaders in the arts community, shifted their professional lives in past years and now are leaders in their faith communities. Tonan O'Connor was once Sarah O'Connor, the managing director of the Milwaukee Rep. She is now resident priest emerita of the Milwaukee Zen Center. Mohammed Issa Sadlin, formerly Christopher Goldsmith, retired from his position as executive director of the Milwaukee Art Museum some time ago and is now executive director CEO emeritus of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. The two will be featured speakers later this month at the first annual Faith Connections event held by the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. But they join us first to talk about their stories. Welcome to both of you.
Great. It's great to be here.
Good to be here.
What led each of you to leave your previous professional careers in the arts world and pursue this life defined as much by faith as it is?
I didn't really leave my previous life to become involved with Buddhism. It began while I was still the managing director of the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. And I left the Rep when I retired at 65, and at that point became a full-time Zen teacher.
How did it happen to become part of your life while you were at the Milwaukee Rep?
Accidentally. The Rep, as you may remember, in the early 80s was touring to Japan a great deal. And I was going back and forth as a business person to set things up. And my friend at the other end learned I loved to travel. So on one occasion, when our business was done, we went and spent the night in a Zen temple. I was astonished, taken, didn't know anything about it, thought I should maybe find out something about it as a cultural matter, came back here, picked up a small book, and here I am today.
What was it that spoke to you so strongly at that point?
I would say that it was the atmosphere of sincerity. It was a private experience that I had that had to do with time, and the fact that there was something powerful there that I was totally unfamiliar with. So I was curious.
Well, and I'm curious to hear more, but I would like to hear your story as well, and how you went from the visual art world to this community of faith as you did.
Well, much like Tonan, this was a concurrent life. I served as executive director of the Milwaukee Art Museum since the early 1980s, and I was introduced to Islam through a Jewish friend who had become Muslim in the mid-1980s. And I was taken with it. I studied about it and actually decided to go through the conversion process in 1989. So I then stayed on at the Milwaukee Art Museum until 2002. So I had this very intense religious life, while I had a even more perhaps intense artistic life. Both of them operated side by side.
Did you find it difficult to exist so intensely in both worlds at the same time?
No, because Islam really emphasizes that we are of the world, that we should work and be involved with our communities and be active. So it was really compatible with the basic concepts of Islam. And I also found that if I organized my life properly, I could easily fit in the prayers, that I could fast during Ramadan, that all the things that were important to me that were I was able to do with the flexibility of the kind of position I had.
In much the same way, Buddhism suggests that everything in the world is related to everything else. There's no one special place you go off to for religious experience as opposed to the rest of it. There is no rest of it. It's all part of your life.
So that actually maybe shifts how I ask this next question, but I'm curious about the common threads that you see in both of those.
For me, the key is empathy, because Buddhism, again, suggests that our relationships to other beings, other activities, is the critical piece of our life. In the theater, we are constantly creating lives that we put on stage and hope people will feel empathy for, you know, experiences they may never have in their day-to-day life. So for me, it was a very natural transition, having spent many, many years attempting to both personally feel and get others to feel about other lives, to move into a religious faith that suggests that all lives ultimately are deeply connected.
What about the common threads between your life at the art museum and your life in Islam?
At the museum, my life was really totally devoted to my position. It wasn't a 9-to-5. It was something I thought about from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed. 7 days a week, I was involved with it on some level. As a practicing Muslim, our life is the same way. We organize our life by early morning prayer. We think about our purpose in life constantly throughout the day. Our practice of Islam is not a separate part of our life, but it's integrated into our worldview. So really, it was a museum worldview overlaid by an Islamic worldview, and the two were very compatible.
Do you view your museum worldview any differently now that you have this additional worldview to view it through?
No, because the museum worldview is one in which you work with the public, you work with the community, and you try to present them some options, some ways of looking at life. And a religious life is the exact same way. You're presenting some ideas, some concepts, some theology that can help people if, in fact, they operate in a certain way. So really, the two are kind of on a parallel track.
Do you feel you were able to view your artistic life differently once Buddhism became a part of it?
No, I don't think so. I think it was the other way, that the Buddhist understanding seemed to mesh with a lot of understandings I had built up over many years in the theater about how things can be. And one of the other great tenets of Buddhist teachings is clear seeing, you know, what's really going on here. Well, as a manager of a big theater company, that was often my question. What's really going on here? You know, not what you think or I think, but we need to know what's really going on here. So it was a very, very comfortable connection.
Do you see yourself in a leadership role differently, or I guess how do you compare being a leader in the arts world for both of you and being a leader of a faith community?
Well, I really approached the same way. And that's leadership as a servant, servant to your cause. It's not that you're the boss telling people mm-hmm. what to do. You're working with a group of people trying to really encourage them to see a common vision and then encouraging them to contribute in a way that's most useful and most valuable to themselves. That's really how you provide religious leadership also. It's not a top-down approach. It's a kind of an unveiling. It's a consensus building. It's trying to keep people in the same direction, providing encouragement and stepping in where there's problems and trying to clear those roadblocks. But you're really not being directive. You're really kind of like the mother duckling trying to herd everybody in the same direction and protect them from harm.
Is leading by example too oversimplified?
Well, leading by example is maybe step number one. Then you really have to be more outgoing because you really have to encourage other people. It's not just that you do something that's done well, but you have to look at other people, their potential, how they can fit into the program, where they need some coaching, some encouragement. So you're really an enabler or an encourager. That's a real strong part of the role.
My limited understanding of Zen Buddhism leads me to believe that it is also not necessarily a top-down approach.
No, it is not. I think there are some traditions of Buddhism, which has many, many different traditions, where a leader might be considered a top-down sort of head of the thing. Within Soto Zen Buddhism, a teacher, a priest, is essentially a guide. Somebody who's a little further along the path than you may be, but who, just as Issa has said, is encouraging, guiding, trying to help people develop their own understanding. You are not the boss at all.
You were both sharing your stories at this community event held by the Interfaith Conference. Is there a lesson in the trajectory of your life that you are hopeful that people in the audience will take with them?
Well, I think one lesson that I certainly learned myself is that, number one, anything is possible if you don't worry too much about your own ego, to worry too much about what the the barriers are. But in fact, if you have a vision, you get people enthused about it, and you're not – and you have a sense that we want to go in this direction, and you don't quite know exactly how you're going to get there or what it's going to look like in the end. If you're a control freak, it's a big problem. But if you're comfortable to let things go, you work, and things will unfold, that's a lesson I would like to share with people, that that's a style that can produce great results.
Can you be an artist without a certain degree of ego? Some of it seems inherent in needing to assume people would want to see or experience what you have to offer as an artist.
I think there's a difference between an ego that says it's all about me and a very strong ego that says, I have something I want to share with others that I think is valuable. And I think that's an enormous difference and a very clear one.
And often many artists really don't care about the public at all. They're not really trying to project themselves or enforce their point of view. They just love to create. They just love to do their process. Mm-hmm. And if people like it or understand it, that's great. If they don't, that's not a problem. So in many, many artists' lives, the kind of traditional understanding of ego, I'm trying to push myself forward, just doesn't exist.
Is there a particular message you hope people will take from what you'll be talking about?
I would say to neither madly desire what we call success or be terrified by failure. Those are both just ideas. And that if we stick to what we need to do right now, we discover we do have the stuff to keep going over what may be a long continuum of time toward that vision that we and other people share. So that patience and a willingness to keep going, I think, are something can be helpful to people.
One of the interesting things is if anybody reads the Quran, the thing that you'll note is that the personal characteristic most required for success is called sabr in Arabic, patience, constancy, consistency, mm-hmm. never giving up. Without that, you really can't be successful because all of us have ups and downs. All of us have so-called failures. All of us have roadblocks. And the only way you're going to get around that is, in fact, with this patience or consistency.
Also, I think Buddhism teaches that there's no point in being, you know, too high up or too cast down about things. Those, again, are just our personal emotional reactions. So that if you can accept what's happening and then go from there, as opposed to being overwhelmed or in despair, you're really ahead. It suggests that we sometimes call it the middle path, but essentially equanimity is really a kind of state of mind that is urged by the Buddhist teachings.
Well, Tonin O'Connor, Mohammed Issa Sadlin, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great
to
be here.
Thank you.
Mohammed Issa Sadlin is the former executive director of the Milwaukee Art Museum. He's now executive director, CEO emeritus of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. Tonin O'Connor is the resident priest emerita of the Milwaukee Zen Center. She was formerly managing director of the Milwaukee Rep. The two will speak at next week's first annual Faith Connections event held by the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. You'll find more information about it at wuwm.com/likeeffect. We'll take a quick break now, and then the Odyssey of a production of the Odyssey at a Milwaukee area nursing home. This is Like Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.